I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
We're the hosts of Switched on Pop, a podcast about the making and meaning of popular music.
Every week, Charlie and I break down the most interesting hits, trends, and artists to understand what they're doing, what they're saying, and why these songs are so infectious.
We've recently broken down Billie Eilish's music with her brother and collaborator Phineas, dissected Chance the Rapper with super producer Oak Felder, and covered everything from Dolly Parton to Travis Scott.
If you love music, you're going to discover something ear-opening in Switched on Pop.
So join us. Search for Switched on Pop in your favorite podcast app and listen to an episode about your favorite artist.
And subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to get new music explainers every week.
And after listening, you might want to check out our new book, Switched on Pop, How Popular Music Works and Why It Matters, at your favorite bookseller. Thanks.
You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone!
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 135. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and in this week's episode, we'll talk about the Astros cheating. Michael Brantley, is he innocent in all this? We'll talk about Michael Clevinger's comments on the cheating. We'll look at MLB Network's Right Now series and Carlos Santana being one of the best first basemen in baseball. We'll predict what the Indians are going to do between now and opening day. And of course, we'll take your questions. Joining me for all that and more is another Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
Good. I got a lot of baseball cards from 1989, so... You know, pretty good. I got a Barry Bonds card.
Why do you have specifically from 1989? Is there any reason you don't
have one? So, this guy came into my work and gave me an entire box of Fleer baseball cards, all from 1989.
Do you just have the look of somebody who might collect baseball cards? I don't know what that look is, but I'm assuming you have it, whatever it is.
The guy I know is a big fan. So, you know, I got some great cards like Eddie Murray, Steve Balboni's mustache, Andres Galarraga, Jack Morris, who I refer to as Black Jack Morris, even though that's not his nickname. Oil Can Boyd. It literally just says oil can on the man's card. A Nolan Ryan card when he was 40, I guess. How old is he in this card? Anyway, yeah, it's a fun thing to have. My brother and I went through it and built the best team we could based only on how they performed in 1988, which means that Barry Bonds was not a starting player on my team. In 1989, I think he won MVP.
He still was on the Pirates at that point, right?
Yeah, I think of the Pirates until another couple of years. But yeah, he was only very good. Not
roided out of his mind, best ever good.
Well, I mean, even before the roids, he was one of the best ever. But the roids just allegedly made
it. Alleged roids. Alleged. Just like Mike Trout is now apparently a legend, but not really. Oh, that's really funny. Did you see any of that? I know you said you were cleansing for baseball
He does steroids now. I forgot about that.
Well, it was funny because how quickly, like, everybody went in on the Astros, and there was no backtracking whatsoever. Like, obviously, the Astros are using buzzers. They're doing all this. And then, like, players were starting to say, like, he might have an exception for a thyroid thing. And then very quickly after that, everybody came back out and said, no, I didn't mean it. I meant if he has one. I don't mean he has one. I think mostly, if we just jump into the Astros thing, I think that mostly means that, like, players don't have a thing against Mike Trout, and they know, like, he's probably not cheating. But the Astros, man. Nobody is shy about saying how garbagey they are. There were so many players that came out after this whole cheating thing. Not Michael Brantley, but Trevor Bauer was one of them, of course.
Yeah, he really basked in it, didn't he?
He did. Because this is his whole thing for the last several years, was calling out the Astros. And then the Astros coming back, like, we've been in World Series. The World Series ball spins different. And then now all this comes out, and Trevor's just running so many victory laps. Mike Clevinger had a video where he was getting a tattoo while he was shit-talking the Astros. That was fun.
That was pretty neat. I thought that was a tattoo.
One of Bauer's videos. Oh, what song is it? It's the Tom. Is it Tom Collins? No, it's not his name. Phil Collins.
Oh yeah, in the air.
The song that.
Yeah.
In the air tonight with the drum beat. He timed it to the trash cans. That was really good. Yeah. So, how much did you follow the whole thing about the Astros beating trash cans? Everybody getting fired and.
Yeah, it was great, huh?
Yeah, it was great. It was fun.
I think that more people should. I mean, the issue you run into with this is just. I mean, obviously the union and having to. Clash with that. The combined thing of that and the most you can fine a team is $5 million. It's a little disappointing that all you got was the scalp of Jeff Lunau and AJ Hinch, because obviously they weren't really the ones to blame. Cora and Beltran also apparently were central to the whole thing. But I kind of wish someone else had... I don't know,
paid some kind of shit for it.
You know, I don't know. And I think in the Clevenger video, I think probably is the best example of this, the best, or rather made the best point. We don't know who really, when I say who, like someone somewhere, you know what I mean? Like, some kid may have been making his like second or third like pitching appearance against the Astros at some point since 2017. I don't know who it might have been, but like maybe he was a fringe kind of a guy, but he was doing okay. And like if he'd gotten a couple more chances, something would have clicked. But then he faced the Astros and was just utterly annihilated, whether he was a reliever over a couple of games or a young starter for a single game, because they knew that when he was throwing a fastball. And he was just, again, just kind of a fringe kind of a player who ended up, instead of being able to at least set his family up pretty good for the next 20 years, he now has to go and, you know, bag groceries at the Hy-Vee or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal.
It's amazing how much damage that you can't even really find that that did to just to individuals and people who aren't the stars and the ones who would have stuck there. Like, you know, people talk about how if this thing all was happening all year, that Aaron Judge was robbed out of MVP. And I'm like, yeah, that does suck for Aaron Judge, but he's, you know, going to be a superstar for a long, long time regardless. There's guys who missed out on opportunities, pitchers specifically, because they were being, you know, everyone knew what was happening. And so they just got bombed and then they just got sent back down and never had a chance to get back into a rotation or into a bullpen again. So that's very sad. You know, it's, I think that's the whole point, I guess, behind the whole cheat about why this is such a terrible thing. Like, it's not on par. I don't like the comparison with what Pete Rose was doing. What he was doing was awful, but in a uniquely awful way. That was only for personal enrichment, and you know, like he could do everything he wanted with it. This was damaging to people that we can't even quantify. And then the fact that it just kind of taints an entire World Series, possibly two. I mean, the fact that the Nationals, the fact that nobody won at home the entire 2019 World Series, kind of makes you wonder if they were doing anything like this in the 2019 postseason. But I don't know. That's a question for another day. But it kind of soils a whole bunch of things. It makes Dodgers fans probably really pissed because they've just been running into the same wall for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's the two most tainted World Series are the ones that the Dodgers lost in.
Yeah.
I think if anybody, the Dodgers are the most upset. Like,
I mean, they should be. You know?
They haven't said anything. They had a really petty, I guess MLB sent out a notice that teams shouldn't talk about it. So the Dodgers just sent that out like as a tweet about that. Teams are advised not to say anything about the cheating scandal.
This whole thing always makes me the construct of, and this isn't really, you know, and this is just kind of something I noticed, I thought about the other day, the construct of Major League Baseball or NFL or anything like that is very confusing, you know, because the commissioner is ostensibly an employee of the owners. But then he's able, I don't know, it's weird how that your employee can fine you and force you to, and like, you know, suspend your other employees, but then, and tell you not to talk about a thing, even though he, like I said, it's a very weird, I guess, dynamic.
That goes back to that $5 million fine thing. Like, I'm really shocked that owners decided Major League Baseball can't fine owners more than $5 million. Like, of course that cap is going to be really low. And I didn't really mind the punishment they gave out either, that it was because I don't think they want to butt heads with the union right now. Like, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's a good idea to, like, go after the leaders of these kind of things. Like, you know, AJ Hinch wasn't doing it, but he said he knew that it was happening. Like, I think it's better, like, they're going for, because you can't punish every single player. You can't determine who did what and all this stuff. But you can get the managers and say, like, if you don't stop this when you see it, this is what's going to happen, basically. And I also heard on, I don't know if it was something that actually happened or they were just thinking it happened, but on MLB Network a lot, they talked about how the players might have had immunity to suspensions to give all the information.
Right.
Which I think if that's what happened, that's fair, because I think it's more important that Major League Baseball gets everything they could to know what was going on than just suspend Jose Altuve for a year or whatever. But it makes like him and Alex Bregman really annoying now when they're just avoiding any questions about it. And they can completely, because like Luno and AJ Hinch, with whatever minimal involvement they had to be fired, put out these statements. And then Alex Bregman just says the Astros did what they did and the commissioner put out his report. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, that's the most cowardly thing in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you cheated. You know you cheated and you can't bother just saying I'm sorry and I went too far or something. But just the total lack of accountability by all the Astros players is ridiculous. And good Lord, if Michael Brantley is involved in it, they should just send him back to Cleveland. He's too pure for that place. But Altuve and Bregman, there's got to be something. Did you see that, like, Altuve?
I would say Altuve is perhaps the most, because Bregman was a rookie in 2017. Not 2016 was a rookie, okay. 2017 was his first full year. So, I mean, I'm not saying that absolves him. He was still kind of a new guy around. He was really good, but he wasn't, you know, in 2017, he was probably fourth or fifth or sixth or something like that on the kind of pecking order of who the big man on campus was. You know, you know what I mean? He was good.
Okay. Yeah, like it's obvious. Like if anybody's leading this, it's probably going to be Altuve was up there.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the guys, exactly. Jose Altuve has been the face of that franchise for almost a decade now. And I mean, I don't know. It's the fact that he in particular has just been so not talking about it at all or not owning up to anything or not accepting these things were happening. It's bizarre to me, I guess, because again, he's been on that team for a long time, I guess, you know, he's 9 years.
He was that team for the longest time when they were still garbage. And
yeah, it was just the only thing worth watching up until about 2014, basically 2015.
Yeah.
And, him to just, you know, I don't know, not address it at all when it's kind of heinous is I can understand why he's doing it. I mean, no one wants to talk about bad things and make them uncomfortable, make them look bad, but, considering
kind
how,
of should. Like, I mean, he took immunity from baseball and he's taking that as immunity from everybody. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't have to cop up to Major League Baseball, so I don't have to cop up to you people at all either, which is the kind of the mentality it seems like him and Bregman have been taking, which is really annoying.
And like, I don't like to want to say that like he's setting a bad example for like the kids or whatever, but I mean, at the same time, there's certain things that it can be existentially damaging to a sport that has made him incredibly wealthy and is loved by a lot of people and is, you know, I mean, in the fabric of our society in some way or other, however that may be fading over time. I think there's someone has to say fucking something, you know, like Hinch and Lunauer just kind of disappeared into the ether. And then we're all just like, well, we did a thing and no one actually got punished. And we knocked off a couple of figureheads, but everyone else who was involved in this, as far as we know, is still on that team. Right. Cora left, but and Beltran left, but they were already gone. And like, if everyone else in the front office or whatever, I don't think this is kind of stopped at the hallway of the clubhouse. You know what I mean? This is definitely.
Oh yeah, players can't do this themselves. You got to get somebody to get all the TV feed for you. You're probably not having a player near the trash can and everything. So there's a bunch of people that are involved that aren't going to be punished for it, which is part of the thing. I think that you got to go to the people who we can hold accountable for it as the managers and that kind of thing. But
it's a weird, it just sucks because again, this is one of those things that casts a shadow over literally an entire World Series. And the last time that happened, they suspended fucking everybody or forever rather. They banned everybody forever. And it was a black mark on the sport for forever. Literally.
So I don't think this is as bad as that one, though.
No,
I think the biggest difference here is that they're cheating to win compared to cheating to they could potentially be cheating.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As long as you're cheating to win, it still doesn't make it good or better, but it's not quite as completely, totally despicable as cheating to the point where you might just lose to make money for yourself. Now, Merritt, I don't know. Maybe I've missed it. I'm sure the statement has come out, but I don't know where Justin Verlander has put his.
Excellent.
I'm sure he's
point,
come out
Matthew.
Somewhere. I'm sure. Maybe I just missed it. Maybe was it retweeted? I didn't see it. I don't know, but I'm sure you Justin know, Verlander
with all
has come out and said
days.
That he doesn't like this cheating.
A lot of teams because
he hates all cheaters, Merritt.
Exactly, but man, a lot of teams had their fan fest this weekend, so I mean,
he's
a lot
just
of,
busy.
Well,
it's fair.
He's busy. The Twitter feeds and the news lines are just so full up with, you know, that type of shit. So it's just you probably missed it, and we just don't have to go back and address it. But yeah, I'm not going to say he's a hypocrite because whatever. I don't know. He's definitely a guy who has opinions, but I don't know.
I mean, remember when he complained the Indians had a light on at one point
in
the stadium?
Awesome.
That was my favorite.
I loved when he complained about the Indians. It was always so great. He was like, "Shut up, idiot! What are you doing?" Like,
now that made me think: what if the Indians were doing that to steal signs? Because every team's got to be doing something like this, I'd assume, or some measure of it. What if the Indians were like getting signs and then flashing a bathroom light somewhere? That'd be really cool, but I don't think that's the case. But I think Verlander's just a big old whiny baby, which is,
I mean,
kind of just what happens.
Every now and then a story like that crops up somewhere. Like there was the man in white who would sit in the center field of for the Blue Jays, and yeah, all the stuff Verlander said about the Indians. And but that was always much more, not old timey, but like I don't know, it seemed at least a bit more slippery and like, for lack of a better word, crafty, I guess. This the sheer stupidity of it, where they're just like looking at the video and then banging on the trash can. You're like, what are we doing here? I don't know.
But this is probably a dumb question, but is there actually something like in the rule book that says you can't have a guy in the outfield with a telescope who's like holding up a sign?
I don't know.
Like, what if a fan just wants to do it to help the team?
Yeah.
And like, he just sits out there with a binoculars and a sign that says slider fastball, but he has nothing to do with the team itself. Could they do anything about that?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a general clause of quit doing fucked up shit.
Don't fucking do that. Rule yeah. 3, section 4.
Yeah. 3. Yeah. Rule 3, section 4, subclause 12. Quit doing idiotic stuff, you moron. All right.
I would assume that like no matter what stadium it is, they would kick the guy out just to be on the safe side. But
right.
Maybe, I guess. You could just sit out there with binoculars and want to help the team and hold up a sign that says slider.
I'm just trying to be a nice guy over here.
I just have these signs. I don't know what they mean. What are you talking about? I don't know. I can't read. I just hold up these signs randomly.
I'm a big fan of fastballs and also sometimes sliders. What do you want from me? And I cheer
go sliders.
Go sliders.
Slider's my favorite mascot, so I just hold this up to cheer him. That's what I do. All right, man. Let's talk about something that's not quite cheating. I guess you could cheat the robots, but MLB Network, they have their Right Now series where they have their old Shredder thing, which now that sabermetrics are like everybody accepts them, it's not as this cutter like edgy thing. Like, yeah, we're using stats. It's like now they just do it. And also they have...
You better fucking be using stats, you idiots.
Yeah. So now it's almost like quaint when they bring on like Carlos Pena or whoever on to also talk about the non-statistical side of analyzing these guys. Because this point, we do it so much that just doing the Shredder and the hard analysis is like you could just go on Fangraphs and sort and find it. But
yeah,
it's a neat little series they have where they run down every position, the top 10 players of every position. So far, they've done the outfield, which shockingly, no Indians players were on any of those lists.
Why? What about Jordan Luplo? He was really good against righties, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he was sort of okay against half the league. That'll get you on a list of the best in the league.
Thank you.
I guess Puig maybe could have been considered, but he wasn't. But the only one so far has been Carlos Santana, number 8, for the first baseman, which we can start with that. Like, are you okay with that, or should he have been higher, or what do you think about where he landed there?
8th?
8th for first baseman. It's not like ALDL. Yeah. It's just all together.
Right. No, I know. I'm trying to think. I mean, there aren't a lot. The thing is, like, there aren't a lot of good first basemen anymore. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, they mentioned that, too. Like, most of them have gone to the DH now is where...
Right.
Like where previously a really good first baseman would have been because they couldn't field. Now they're just doing DH instead. So now it leads. I thought Max Muncy, who was obviously the best first baseman last season, is number 2. Freddie Freeman's number 1. Pete Alonso was 3. Anthony Rizzo, Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Olson, Luke Voit, Santana, Josh Bell, and then Edwin is number 10. So yeah, it's very much not, it's not a very slugger heavy list. Like Pete Alonso is, Anthony Rizzo, no. I guess he's a slugger, but he's mainly just an overall good hitter. But it's a lot of traditional ones that used to be good here at DHs now, so it's hard to...
I pulled up the list of, according to Fangraphs, wins above replacement. Alonso's number 1. Santana's number 3, actually.
Is that steamer projections, like last season?
No, this is this past season. So I guess they're...
Oh, yeah. What? So, yeah, steamer... Well, the Shredder thing they have uses the last 2 seasons, and Santana was not very good for the Phillies.
Okay, that's fair.
So that kind of drags him down a little bit. Yeah, he was also really bad defensively this year, apparently, by statistics. But, I mean, who cares? It's first base. But still, compared to how good he was a couple of years ago, and he's a Gold Glove candidate, kind of sucks. Yeah, so I don't know. But I think number 8's fair, right?
There's a bunch of pretty... I have other problems with the list, I guess. I mean, obviously, it's the last 2 years.
I'd want him above Luke Voit.
Yeah, I don't want him above Luke Voit, but also, like... I mean, Matt Olson's good, I guess, but I'd want to have Luke Voit and probably Paul Goldschmidt was so good in 2018, though. I just feel like he's kind of on a down. So, but Santana's 32 as well. I don't know why Edwin Encarnacion was listed as a first baseman. He's the worst first baseman ever.
The one, can you tell just by really glancing real quick who the big omission is here? Which I guess makes sense considering he wasn't very good last year. I wonder if he's on the Fangraphs list. Joey Votto.
I'm looking real quick. Oh, shit, you're right. Joey Votto's not on this list. Damn.
Yeah, he was number 1 a couple years ago. He's number 1, I think, multiple times. He's always been in the top 4, but he dropped right off because he wasn't that good last year.
He was not very good at all. Still walking a shitload, but not doing much else.
And he's so old. Isn't he like 36, too? That was surprising for me. I didn't realize how old Joey Votto is.
He's been around since
which
forever.
Which sucks, because he's not going to get a World Series.
No, definitely not now. No. I mean, unless he's a big player... That's the thing. Like he'd have to go somewhere else and be a DH or something, and like he just doesn't hit.
And he's still signed for $1 billion or whatever through 2024. So
you know who could really use a soft hitting DH is the Indians. He's classic Indians material right now. Perfect. We could use him as a platoon guy. Yeah, yeah.
They love their platoons. And use Joey Votto and pay him $20 million to do it.
Yeah, you just platoon him and, I don't know, Jordan Luplo, I guess. And they can both hit righties, I guess. Didn't Luplo have weird reverse splits?
But no, you're thinking of literally anybody else. Jordan Luplo has the most normal splits you can think of.
You know, I'm pretty sure I read a couple articles saying how he started to hit right-handed pitching towards the end of the season. So shut up.
Well, you read those in like July, and then he tanked again, and then he was only good as a split. Because remember, they tried him every day for a very short time, and then he was like, nope, I'm not doing that anymore.
It's almost like letting someone play more will let them get more comfortable in the situation. I don't know. It's an idea I have. Maybe we could explore it at a later date.
Maybe they could bunt a little more. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, that at least that keeps the defense honest, right? That's what we're trying to do here. Honesty in our defenses.
I'm Jillian Weinberger, host of The Impact, a podcast from Vox about how powerful people affect the rest of us. This season, we're looking at the big ideas from all the people running for president in 2020.
Hit this opioid crisis head on.
Public option.
Move away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency.
And it's going to be a great wall, and it's going to work.
A lot of those ideas have actually been tried before, like that wall Trump wants to build. Nogales, Arizona has had one on its border for decades.
I don't understand why individual people have a right to have a fence, and yet a country can't.
Senator Warren's proposal to end the opioid crisis? It's based on what we did to fight the AIDS epidemic.
We would like to name it the Ryan White Care Act.
And the Green New Deal. Germany tried something similar in 2000.
This is the solution.
This season on The Impact, we have those stories. How the big ideas from 2020 candidates worked or didn't work in other places or at other times. These are the stories that will help us understand what might happen if these proposals get rolled out here in the next 4 years. Subscribe to The Impact on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app to get new episodes now.
So where do you think some of these other guys are going to end up? I think Lindor is going to—he's going to be one in shortstop, right? I can't think of who else would be better than him.
I can't think of anyone. I mean, unless they really want to try and shoehorn like Correa in there or something like that. But over, I suppose going over the last 2 years, I mean, Lindor's got to be number one. And then what's his name? Ramirez is going to be on there somewhere. I mean, maybe eighth or ninth or something like that. But he's been—he was tremendous in 2018, and then he was. Second half of 2019, he was pretty good.
I'm assuming these lists and everything was made before the Astro stuff came out, so Alex Bregman's probably going to be the top third baseman. That'll be awkward to talk about. But I'm assuming Anthony Rendon is going to be up there, too, somewhere, because good Lord, he's really good.
After that, he might be the best third baseman in the world. Right. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. It's a good reason for him to be there, yeah. I mean, it's a crowded third baseman. Is third base probably like the most talented position in baseball right now?
I think it is. It's looking at these guys who are on this list, like even guys like Rafael Devers, who are finally turning it around, and
Yoan Moncada had a 141 WRC plus last year.
Like Manny Machado, people just forgot he existed, but he's still really good. You know,
well, Manny Machado went to San Diego. Of course, everybody forgot. Although he wasn't
exactly,
that good last
year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to be a monster in 2020. He was just turning it on as the season wound down.
Is he a third baseman?
But, I mean, ostensibly, I don't know where else you'd play him right now. They don't really have space anywhere else. He's a shitty third baseman, I guess is what you call him.
Isn't Dante Bichette a third baseman? Or is it Bo Bichette? Which Bichette is it? That's the prospect.
Bo Bichette.
There you go.
I don't know. I figured he was going to be an outfielder, just like his daddy. Fielding outfielder.
Oh, no, he's a shortstop. Never mind.
I mean, yeah, Eugenio Suarez is very good. All these guys are just incredibly talented and would be a star on a lot of crappier teams. But, you know, again, Bregman, Rendon, Chapman, who everyone forgets about. Arenado, who apparently is going to get traded. I'm still confused by that one.
But that's a whole thing. Goddamn. Could you imagine the Indians extending Lindor right now and like being so excited and then next offseason they're looking to trade him already?
It's the stupidest thing in the world. It is hands down the dumbest thing in the world. Yeah, Jose Ramirez is going to be like fourth at worst on their top 10 right now.
At worst? You mean at best? It's going to be hard for him to get that high.
He was probably the best third baseman in baseball in 2018.
2018, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're somewhere in the middle, I think. I think it'll be lower, like five or six. But there's so many good third basemen, though.
why are they? And that's why they're doing that one last. Let's see. Catchers, I just don't think that he's going to get in there.
Just because he wasn't good in 2018. And, yeah.
Well, that, and it's just he doesn't have the offensive stats, I guess. You know, he's all defense and
Well, they also changed their shredder formula on weights, like defense for different positions. I would hope that at catcher they weighted a lot more than offense, which if they do is going to help him. So
I would almost say the last 2 years, whenever he got a chance to, he
was sure.
Just a brick wall. So, and for starting pitchers is really the only place you're probably going to see any Indians. And I would say Clevinger gets in there and at like fifth or sixth or seventh or something like that. And then who else?
Bieber? Did you forget Shane Bieber?
I'm just thinking. I mean, he wasn't really good in 2018, right?
That's
like
true.
He was really
good
in 2019. But I mean, if we're going over the last 2 years, he's been merely a pretty good pitcher.
And I think Clevinger for sure is going to be there pretty high. And remember this season, even before he got injured, he was unhittable for didn't he have like double digit strikeouts every start until he got that back injury?
Was truly incredible. Yeah. I mean, he's 154 ERA plus over the last 2 years and struck out, 376 and 326 innings since 2018.
Basically a million.
Tremendous since 2017. Yeah. He's perfect. He's a perfect pitcher. That's what it is. And I think he'll be not quite top five just because there's some guys out there who are also really, really good, but.
I think my favorite rumor this offseason is the Angels wanting to trade for Mike Clevinger. That is, I don't want him to do it, but I just want to see the Indians turn Vinny Pastano into Clevinger and then into like Joe Adell or whatever. Just because how much must the Angels hate themselves right now? They got a half season of Vinny Pastano for the pitcher they would probably trade just about anything for right now. It's great.
Over the last 2 years, where does he rank up by wins above replacement?
Would the Angels have won a World Series if they didn't make that trade?
No, because everything Clevinger would have gotten hurt. They don't have any bats to speak of, and also as the Astros,
he might not have developed like he did. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, and but again, the Astros still do exist. So, I would say that Clevinger sneaks in the back half of the five.
Now, second base, Cesar Hernandez. Does he make the list as a second baseman?
Without a doubt, second base is a terrible position that no one's good at, as far as I know. Or maybe they are. I'm not sure. I don't actually watch baseball.
What sport is this game?
Wait, what are we talking about again? all right. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Honestly, it's not that stacked a position. If Max Muncy got picked as a first baseman, then he's out already. And then I guess you'll have, Altuve, Albies,
Torres,
Baez, Moncada.
Why is Mike Moustakas?
Torres.
You know what? I don't think it's that terrible that he might make it. There is not that many good
second basemen. He might actually sneak onto this list. Oh my god!
Ketel Marte, does he count as second baseman? Ozzy Albies?
Does count as a second baseman. I remember Mike Petriello tweeting about that. So I mean, it's going to go Baez, Marte, Albies, Altuve, Whit Merrifield. No, Whit Merrifield's an outfielder. Moncada.
I guess it depends on who they allow to be a second baseman, really, because there's so many players. Like, nobody's a primary second baseman anymore. It's so rare.
Well, that's the thing. DJ LeMay. It's true. It's a very weird DJ LeMay, who's already third baseman. Jonathan Villar, Torres. They're not going to put Asdrubal Cabrera on there. I mean, they might.
I hope so.
Jesus Christ. and then, I mean, again, I'm just kind of going off like wins above replacement.
He might actually make it.
Over the last 2 years.
It truly just depends on who they include.
Cesar Hernandez. Yeah. You gotta be kidding me. That's the stupidest thing I've found out about anything over the last month, I think.
And that's
not give it to like Brian
Second base used to be like one of the big good positions, wasn't it?
It was more like if you were good at second base, then you're a god it was basically you had what's his name on the Phillies who was, you know, the player everyone wanted, Chase Utley, but from the other great second baseman over the last however long.
There you go. That about tells you how it is. I mean, Jason Kipnis for a couple of years was it. And that, he was pretty good. He was one of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Jason Kipnis was a top. I mean, Pedroia was the class of the position for about a decade.
Robinson Cano. That was another one.
Oh, yeah. What do you know about Robbie Cano? That's true. Who else?
I don't know. I think Cesar Hernandez might make it there.
We were all excited by D. Gordon for a while there. Starlin Castro was supposed to be really good.
Dan Uggla, he was a second baseman, was good for a very short time.
Dan Uggla was theoretically a second baseman. That's true.
He was theoretically a baseball player, yes.
He had 33 home runs 1 year, so there you go. And then he got into a fight with, what's his name? Former Indian. Won an MVP or something, or batting title or something like that.
He got into a fight?
Yeah, he got into a fight with the guy who was on the Indians last year, but then left because he was terrible.
That describes Ramirez. Oh.
Boy, Brent Sherman was good. Indians last year.
Sure did. I don't think Eric Stametz or Max Moroff is going to make many lists, but who knows?
It's funny to think back. You know, I was doing that over the Christmas.
It is not fun to think back, actually, Merritt.
Well, it's hilarious more than anything. When you just remember that Ryan Flaherty started 14 games or whatever, or
I remember when the season Eric started, Koss there was a joke that he might get an at bat, and I'm like, ha ha, there's no way that's going to happen. And then the middle of the playoff race, he gets a bunch of at bats.
Guess what, idiots? It did happen. Eric Haas was a player, and they just traded him. So there you go.
At least you didn't write
a. I was excited for him for a while there.
Yeah, at least you didn't write a post about trading him for Starling Marte and look like a real smart baseball writer.
So they traded him for straight cash
after they designated him for assignment. Well, yeah, what the hell happened to Eric Haas? There was at least some potential he could have power or something, and it was like, oh, whatever, he's done.
I can't tell if I'm insulted by that move.
I am personally insulted, first of all.
Well, like you watch a team dump, what, $80 million in salary or something like that. I might be embellishing that a little bit, but not by a lot. And then, but then there's this player that we're ostensibly excited about, I think. They just sell him. Not even for anything. You're like,
barely any
cash. Am I mad at this anymore? I mean, I guess. Fine. I guess we don't want him either.
I always hated him. Never liked him. What are we talking about? Never a fan.
Yeah. Screw him.
So, man, aside from dumping another $80 million in salary and being down to like $2 million, do you have any specific predictions between, I was going to say now and spring training, but I'm going to stretch it just so we can actually make it interesting because I don't think anything's going to happen between now and spring training. But between now and opening day, do you have any predictions about what the Indians might do or should do or
moves
what you think they do?
Make,
there you
should
go.
Do?
Those are really two bigly, big different questions, what they should do and what they will do.
Well, I'd like it if they signed another bat.
That's a bold theory.
I know that's thanks, man. Let's see, top 50. Specifically, and I was against this, I admit this, coming into the offseason, but then they proceeded to do absolutely nothing. So what about Yasiel Puig?
Right?
What about him?
I mean, right now he apparently wants a 3-year deal for like $15 million each, which, chill out, Yasiel, I like you, but no. Nobody's going to do that. I think the Indians could wait it out and get him for like a 1-year, what, $9, $10 million and just let him bet on himself kind of thing.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to think of other guys they might be able to get on like a prove it kind of a deal, a la what Donaldson did last year.
But nowhere near $20 million.
No. I mean, just because they dumped $67 million in salary doesn't mean they can afford anything. Matt. Come on, that's crazy.
What do you want them to do? Reinvest that money or something? That's crazy. Nobody does that.
Let's see. But Puig would be fun, maybe. Trying to think of anyone else who's still available. That's how this is. Brock Holt.
Oh boy.
Brock Holt. You know what? Brock Holt is a very Indians pick.
He is a very. I thought Matt Duffy was a very Indians choice, but they didn't get him. But Brock Holt is a very Indians choice.
A 32-year-old who can play a bunch of positions, former Red Sox, and also a basically league average hitter. I think this is the move right here, man. Nothing that they should do, but that they might do.
It is actually very possible. Like, and it wouldn't be the worst either. He's an upgrade over probably several outfielders Indians could field.
I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be excited, but I'd just be like, yeah, whatever. All right, that's cool.
I guess the big question is if they believe that Daniel Johnson is going to be enough of – if they first of all believe he'll make the team, and second of all, he contributed. Like, if they think he'll be an average bat, they'll just save the money and not bother with anybody. Right,
no, exactly. Right, and that makes the most sense in all honesty because the whole point here is to just get guys who are just fine. I don't know. Ben Zobrist is available still? I don't know if his
– No, he's not. He's retired, still, right? It's like 90 years old.
He's 39.
I know what I said.
Hunter Pence?
He's one I would like a lot.
I think Hunter Pence would be – I think that would be a fun one.
I would rather have him as a fourth outfielder than a lot of people.
I don't know what he's been getting paid. But
wow, he was really good last year. What the hell?
There was talk, and I almost wrote the article about them trading for him because I thought that would make a lot of sense. But then I think the Rangers run the fringe of some kind of contention. He only made $2 million last year. I think this one or the Brock Holt signing makes a lot of sense to me. Because they'd be dirt cheap. Like, it's just, over the years, I feel like I've gotten a better sense of what the true Indian signing is. And Brock Holt is the one that makes the most sense. But But now, you know,
would he be the best Holt in Indians history? I mean, he's competing with Tyler Holt, who was also a legend. So he's got some competition there.
It would be a tight squeeze and worthy of at least 15 articles per writer on Let's Go Tribe.
Tyler Holt versus Brock Holt.
A tale of two Holtz.
Were you a Holtomaniac?
So those are my ideas. I was not. I didn't care about him at all. I'll be honest with you. I just, oftentimes I get, I'm unenthused by shit players. So it's just,
are you sure you want to be an Indians fan then? If you're unenthused by shit players who are brought in for nothing?
There's a difference between being unenthused by shit players and trying to see something good trying to see that diamond in the rough. Yeah. So yeah, I the Ozuna signing I wouldn't want to happen. The Puig signing I think would be the ideal, but I can't remember that Nick Castellanos has not been signed yet. It's kind of weird to me. The Indians have a space for him at DH, but they're not going to give a DH $60 million again. Just after doing it.
And if he's going to be a DH, they're going to have to admit that Franmil Reyes is an outfielder, which I don't think they want to do.
Oh, shit.
I mean, they've said they're going to try him in the outfield, but I don't think they will. That's not a good idea. That's a bad idea, right?
Well, then if that's the case, then yeah, I think the Holt or Pence signings makes the most sense, just if only because I know he's not quite the fielder he used to be, talking about Pence, but I'm sure he's more competent than Franmil Reyes is, because Franmil Reyes is a horror show.
In the outfield. You got to. Good Lord, let me swing a bat, but defensively.
Well, we'll see about the bad thing too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm very on the fence with Franmil Reyes. He strikes out so goddamn much.
But when he hits the ball, man, it's so hard.
But they already have a guy like that. They already have Bobby Bradley, who's been tweeting himself hitting balls very hard. I'm like, damn, that would be cool.
That'd be cool if you could do that. Could you imagine if you could do that? Would that be cool? That's mean. I like Bobby Bradley. It wouldn't be good.
I do too. I want him and Reyes I want the new market efficiency to be big ass dudes.
Big ass dudes swinging sticks. That's
I want it to finally work. They tried it once with guys like Shelly Duncan and Jerry Sands and others. Just huge idiots who swung the ball hard. And I loved it. But it never worked. But maybe they can do it again with Puig. Bring Puig in too. That'd be fun. Yeah. No, but with Reyes and Bradley just hitting bombs, baby. Bombs for days.
Now, unfortunately, I think with the Rangers getting Kluber, they're obviously going to try to compete, so it kind of kills my dream scenario, but I want Joey Gallo.
Forgetting about that.
Oh, do you forget Corey Kluber's on the Rangers, Merritt? And also Nick Goody, which is it's a ways down the ring of worries.
I keep on forgetting that. Jesus Christ.
He's going to be at Ranger Fest or whatever bullshit they call it.
I saw a picture of wearing a Ranger jersey the other day. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, right. No. It's going to confuse me all season. I'm just going to be like, wait, what day is Kluber starting? This is weird. It's been like 8 days. And then I'll just check a box, like a Rangers box, which is Kluber. Eight innings, one hit, 12 strikeouts. Ah, damn it. And he loses 1-0.
We've sort of talked about it before, about the weirdness of seeing players in other jerseys. I don't think Kluber and Rangers looks all that weird, which in itself is weird to me. He just looks like a Ranger.
I think it looks incredibly weird.
I don't know.
You're right. I mean, of all the teams for it to be on, that's definitely a good one. He looks like a sheriff of some kind. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just, he's like the much, much more so than J.C. Kipnis or anyone else. He's just been the best player on the team over the last, you know, since 2013 probably.
Yeah. Well, and I am not ready for J.C. Kipnis to see him in another jersey yet. I'm not mentally prepared for that.
I've gotten over that. as long as it's the White Sox or the, Like when I saw Lonnie Chisenhall in a Pirates uniform very brief before he got hurt, I was like, that makes sense.
When did you see him in a Pirates uniform, Merritt? Like a spring training uniform? Is that where? I don't think he had an at bat for the Pirates, did he? He was injured before.
Was he really? I saw it somewhere. But like, you know, when I see Jason Kipnis in a,
I think White Sox is a good fit for him.
White Sox is the best fit, hands down. It makes perfect sense. But like, if I see him in like an Orioles jersey,
poor guy. What are you doing to Jason Kipnis? He doesn't deserve that.
Hey, it's monster. A great stadium. That means I get to go see him a lot too. So there you go.
All right, so we have a kind of, at least a couple questions. Every, I guess, Sunday now, whatever day this is, we ask you on Facebook and Twitter for your questions, what you want us to answer, and some of them are weird, some of them are good. They're all good, but some are just weird, and I like that.
They're always good, because our fans are the best. Our listeners are our heroes.
That is a fact. Jose Fernandez Chavira on Facebook. He wants to know, what prospects could the Tribe ask the Jays for in return for potential trade for Lindor? I think you can ask for whoever you want, but... You're not, I'm assuming this is a Jays fan who just wandered in and saw there was a question for an Indians podcast. But you're not going to get anybody from Mark Shapiro. There's no way he's trading prospects for Francisco Lindor. He's not trading prospects for anybody.
No.
That man
also,
loves
they don't
prospects.
Have any good prospects.
Right. I mean, you can consider not a prospect, but like they could get the Bichette. I already forgot which one it is again.
Bo,
there you go. Bichette, Dante yes. Bichette is just the and one burned in my head, and I can't get past it that he's the right one. You could ask for Vlad Guerrero Jr. if you're in for a laugh. They're not going to give him to you, but yeah. First of all, the Blue Jays don't have anybody worth Francisco Lindor, and if they did, Mark Shapiro would not give you them. We know when he was in Cleveland, he loves his prospects. Honestly, that's part of the reason the Indians have such a great team now is that he hoarded prospects so much. But he's not going to trade them.
You ever notice that they have the most, that the Blue Jays have the most of the large adult sons in all of baseball?
That's Mark Shapiro's efficiency.
And Guerrero Jr. and what's his name's kid too?
I mean, Mara, who was the president when Shelly Duncan and Jerry Sands were in the team? Mark Shapiro.
Holy shit.
Also, Jesus Aguilar and Carlos Santana. He loves him some big dudes.
This is his thing. Well, I guess what I mean is these are all literally the sons of major leaguers. Too.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All three of those guys.
He just drafts by name recognition. That's all he does.
Yeah. He's like, I remember watching him. Yeah, get him. He's terrible. All right.
He's never played baseball. What are you talking about? You can't just draft Bill Gates' son because you like his name, sir. Draft him now.
Hey. Draft Barry Bonds Jr. He's a computer programmer. Yeah, that's fine.
Have you seen his name? Get him. I want him now.
Yeah, come on. We can teach him the game. It's fine.
So at Hiram Boyd on Twitter, he asked, is Tito going to be versatile in using the potential awesome back of the bullpen or really just assign jobs? I wouldn't give one person the job. I'd be open to giving multiple guys clothes and use in different innings. What do you think of that one, Merritt? Is Tito going to just rely on roles or just kind of let everybody pitch where they should be pitching?
Well, I think we learned over the years, we've learned two things about Terry Francona. He will always have a closer, and he really likes his capital G guys. Now, most of them are gone now. Hand will be the closer. I mean, that's just the way it is, right? The only way we can change that is if the front office trades him, which, fine. Relief pitchers are a little more than a highly fluctuating asset, and moving on them when they're on high is a smart move a lot of times. Also, what? We talked about it before the podcast, but Adam Simber's career is basically over because you have to pitch to three people in a row now. And if it's one righty and two lefties, and you're going to give up two home runs. So I would like it if he was versatile with these guys. I mean, Oliver Perez is still good. Are these guys still on a fucking team?
I think Ollie is, yeah. I mean, they still have, they're going to have a really damn good bullpen. Like Nick Wittgren's still going to be there.
No, the new kid, Clace, Karinchak's going to be pitching. I think at least one or two of those guys that they kind of called up over the end of the last season are going to be good. I like Hunter Wood. My hope is he adds some velocity this year, and he lives more in the 95 to 97 range than the 93 to 95 range. I think that'll make him a much better weapon. I recall his secondary stuff being at least passable with more velocity. I think he'd have more swing and miss potential. But I guess to answer the question, yeah, one would hope that he uses guys judiciously. The new way of managing bullpens makes it, I can't tell if it'd be easier or harder for him, right? Like
the three batter minimum, you mean?
Pitch to both sides, right? Yeah. He's guys who can pitch to both sides of the plate, and Wittgren has proven to be able to do that. Perez has proven to be able to do that. Clayster throws 100 miles an hour, so I'm sure he'll be able to do it.
Adam Simber screws
a mere 98. Simber's out, and then, like I said,
just out. Just like a matter of fact, that one.
Get the hell out of here, you idiot! Just throwing boots at him, yeah. Because you figure he's going to have an 8-man bullpen. So you got Hand, Wittgren, Perez, Clace, Karinchak, Wood, Plutko, inevitably. And then we have an 8th spot that will be Simber until they realize he can't do anything. And then I don't think
it's the worst thing in the world either to have Hand as your designated closer and then use two potential fireballers whenever. I don't think it's going to have like a setup thing anymore. I don't think it's going to be a Brian Shaw this year. I think it's just... Hand is the closer, and everybody else uses when they can, when they're warmed up.
I think there may be a discovery phase. Now, whether it will discover anything or whether they'll go with a hot hand sort of a thing, that's the real question.
Yeah.
Because Wickren was good for a little while last year, but he was bad for a little while last year. There was that time when Oh, what the hell was his name? Not Harold.
What?
2018. He was a 2018 reliever, and he was terrible for a while, and then he was good suddenly, and then he was bad again.
Dan Otero?
I'm fine. No, Dan Otero was just bad that entire year. his name was, and I'll tell you, that's right, it was indeed Neil Ramirez. It was some weird,
gross. Yeah,
it's office worker's name. I was like, I don't know, Neil or Harold or something.
Yeah, he was really bad.
But he had a stretch there where he was pretty good. So that was like a hot hand thing. And so I think we'll see a little bit of that until, like, is Karinchak the real deal? Is Clase the real deal? One would fucking hope they traded a two-time Cy Young, who I think still has a lot of gas in the tank. And Karinchak, as we've been talking about him for 100 years, it seems like. And so, and then you have guys like Jeffrey Rodriguez, too, who, if again, that's one of three young pitchers they have in the potential rotation guys who I hope add a little bit of velocity this year. But we'll see how that goes. Long story short, I hope so. I would expect so. Matchups don't exist anymore. Like, you can't pitch to matchups. So you just need to go with the best pitcher you have over and over. And that set of hand, that's what six guys there who I think are pretty good.
So we're wrapping up with a very concrete question, one that requires a lot of knowledge and research. At NOP4HDH, he wants to know, what was the worst Indians pick of 2018? The draft, worst Indians draft pick. We're both very close followers of the draft, and we both obviously followed 2018, which was exactly 2 years ago. So not the last draft, but the one before it. Merritt, who was the worst draft pick of 2018?
That's a tough one to think about. Let me consider this for just a moment.
Do you want me to give you my very well thought out answer first?
Yeah, what do you got?
Round 23, pick 29, overall 703. A guy named Cody Farhat. He's one letter away from being Fart Hat, and if he would have been that, he would have been a better pick. But he isn't, so he sucks.
Did you say best pick? Wait a minute.
No, because he's not Fart Hat. If he was Fart Hat, he was the best pick of 2018. But he was so close, but his ancestors or whatever did not pick the right last name, so he's my pick for worst draft pick of 2018, Cody Farhat, who was also almost Fart Hat.
I mean, I could complain about something like Noah Naylor being a non-factor so far on prospect lists.
And being not Bo Naylor.
I mean, also, yeah.
That's his biggest drawback. I think the main point is, like, 2018 is too soon to know what the worst draft pick is. But
no, and that's true. I mean, none of these guys really, goddamn, farted.
He was so close, Merritt. He was just one letter away. Could he not have tried a little harder to get the T in there?
Maybe Ethan Hank. I don't know. I mean, no, Ethan Hank is really good. What a ridiculous question to ask me. I have no clue.
I knew you wouldn't. That's why I wanted to do it for the last one, just to wrap it up. The real reason is I thought just for fun I'd look, and then I saw Fart Hat, and I thought, I'm going to use that one. I'm going to make Merritt not have any answers, just so I can get my Fart Hat joke.
Well, we got Gunnar Halter. Guy really hates Arsenal, I guess. There's Cody Fart Hat. Got some good names in here, actually. Eli Lingos, pretty good. Aaron Pinto, I'm a big bean guy, so that's a pretty good one.
Bean guy, he's a big bean guy.
Spencer Schwellenbach, I assume will be a superstar.
Just based on name alone.
Okay, so here's a great name. Okay, this is a fake human being that's a creation of a video game when I auto-populated draft a couple years in the future. And his name is Braxton Cotton Game.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely a fake name. That's not a real person.
That's a fake human being.
After like the first 70 rounds of the MLB draft, they just add some players in. They're not real.
And then we have Johnny Frankenship. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, great catcher, good arm, solid bat to ball skills. Good. Yeah, I'd say I'm 38th round pick. You think 38? Yeah, yeah.
What if people look up records on him? Nobody does that. Just fake the fan graphs charts. Nobody will care. He'll be gone in a couple years.
Zach Geloff, G-E-L-O-F. I mean, my name is Merritt Rolfing, for God. This guy's name is Daniel Schneeman. That's from a movie.
It's a Disney villain name.
Yeah.
Schneeman.
Yeah, but like a nerdy like kid from a kid's movie, like a Dennis the Menace-esque kind of
Not the main villain, like the one right under him.
No, I'd say he's more like the nerdy kid from like a Boy Meets World type TV show. Schneeman's here. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Schneeman. We forgot our homework and he told the teacher. Yeah.
Oh, Schneeman's raising his hand again. Oh, and so on.
Yeah. So that's going to do it week. Oh, go ahead.
That's my pick. Anyway.
There you go.
That's it.
Thanks for joining us. If you are, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify. I think Spotify can do reviews now. I don't know. Wherever you do, leave a review. Let us know. When we get new ones, I'll try to read them off the top of the show. It's been a little while, but from this point forward, we're probably going to do every week because baseball good Lord is going to get started soon, hopefully, and there might be some news. We'll
see. Some of these colleges have to be fake. This is ridiculous.
Like, what? Just give me one, and then we'll end the show after that one. What's the fakest college you found?
George Wallace Community College. I don't know. That just doesn't seem real.
Clearly fake.
Maybe it is.
See you next week, Merritt.
Saginaw Heritage High Five.